We'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for another fresh 24-hour slice of eternity. Thank you that we can come together and to live in a country we still have the freedom to come and assemble and worship God, to worship you, to glorify your Son, to come and learn from your word. Thank you we have an assembly that right teaches your word rightly divided, and we understand Paul's unique apostleship and how to rightly divide your word. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit, as always, would be the real teacher here today, and as the pastor teaches later, and that we would leave this place knowing who we are in Christ and rejoicing in those riches of your grace that you've lavished upon us. And we would serve you out of gratitude, Father, empowered by your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So are you looking forward to today? Celebrating our pastor's 40 years as a pastor here at Faith Bible Church. Praise God, huh? Give him a hand. I get to do it from the pulpit up here. Right? I usually do it from back there. I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm going to do a little roast. So I'm going to turn the heat up a little bit on them. And then Steve's going to speak something. I don't know what he's got planned. Mary's going to do a song. And I'm going to do the roast. Then we're going to get everyone a chance to say something to the pastor, honor him, and let him know how he's touched your lives. So we'll get right into the message now. So we took off from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to read it, then I'm going to highlight what we already went over to refresh your mind a little bit. I don't want to stay on it. It's real easy to go back and start, because you studied a lot and you didn't get everything out. But I want to be careful because I want to go, if I can get in three more spiritual blessings today that God has blessed us with, I'd like to. So in Ephesians 1, verse 3, Paul writes, actually the Holy Spirit through Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has," that's past tense, "the moment you trusted in Christ, blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ." Praise God. Usually I kind of speak out against, and you know if you've heard me teach, some maybe that will be watching this for the first time aren't familiar, but Paul tells us not to have anything to do with evil, but rather expose it. So I expose some false teaching. That's what a shepherd's supposed to do. A pastor, I'm an assistant pastor here, and a Bible teacher. And you're supposed to equip, if you want to call it the flock, or those that you're responsible to be equipping them, not get tossed to and fro by everyone in doctrine. So I exposed the prosperity, name and claim it, blab it and grab it, false gospel. But I'm going to agree with them. God wants you rich. So rich. Look at everybody saying, wait a minute now. Paul's going off. He's having a breakdown. Bill has abused him with his short jokes so much that he's breaking down. God wanted you rich so much, he blessed you, lavished on you with every spiritual blessing. Yes. That's as far as I'm going to with them. They teach, you'll go to some churches today, they're going to be teaching God wants you money rich, always, he always heal you if you got enough faith, all that stuff. But we are a rich people, spiritually. Yeah, if you think about it. So let's get right into it. I'm going to, again, to refresh your memory. Now, if I get through this, by the time Dave gets back, and in a way, I hope I don't, because I want Dave back here. He needs to be up here. And the big pulpit, you know, he's tall and looking down, you know, I'm like here, you know. I need a little step stool, right, Bill? You know, to maybe look a little bit taller.
Bunch of chairs up.
I should stand on one of these chairs. But anyway, like I said, I'm torn. I really would love to finish this, but I'm torn more to want to see Dave get better and get back. So make sure we keep in prayers. And we love you, Dave, if you're watching, and miss you. And for me, for one, I pray every day for you. So let's look at what we've went over. Number one, we looked at the blessing of reconciliation. you know, there was a sin issue that separated us from God. God dealt with it at the cross. The wages of sin is death. What did Christ do? He died. You know, so we'll never have to die spiritually. That's eternal security. We have the blessing of redemption. God loved you so much. What? Christ, God demonstrated his love in this. While we were still sinners, not ladies and gentlemen, not good and moral people, we were sinners. Christ Jesus died for us. And we have redemption, how? Through his blood. It didn't come free. That's how much God loved you. Let that picture of Christ on the cross, ripped up, shredded up his back, beat up like no man has seen, nailed, and he's thinking about you. That's how much he loved you. And me. So we have the blessing of propitiation. God's, you know, people say God is love, right? And he is. But that's all that only verse they know. My God is a God of love. Well, the Bible says he's a righteous God and a just God and a holy God, right? A God that hates sin. So his righteousness and justice has to punish sin, or he wouldn't be a just God. Would you think a judge in Chicago that lets some dirty, rotten murderer, rapist, child molester go, would he be a just God and says, oh, I love you, so just go ahead?
No.
No. Well, God's a real just God. Infinitely just, infinitely righteous, and he is love. So God's wrath and his anger against our sins were poured upon Christ. He absorbed everything for every sin that anyone ever did. We'll never grasp, I think, what he suffered. It wasn't only physical. You know, he talks about, when I was teaching, I forgot, we went into the Old Testament and give him a picture of what he went through. It's about how the dogs were surrounding him. He was being chewed upon. And, you know, this was spiritually, he was being attacked. So, he, because of what Christ sacrificed, God poured out all his wrath and anger against our sins, so he's not going to punish us. Ain't you glad? I didn't used to know that. Now I was waiting. God going to get me today? And it was taught from the pulpit. God will get you. And I've heard a couple rightly divided mid-acts dispensationalists, pastors and Bible teachers say, well, you know, God sometime will correct us and punish us. And I'm thinking that's no difference than I heard in legalistic Pentecostalism. God will get you because he loves you. No, God got Christ in our place. You know how he doesn't punish us? He corrects us. He disciplined. Punishment is punishment for retaliation for a past act. Discipline is training for your future, for your good. All scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God, right? Useful for teaching, correcting, right?
Yep.
That's how God disciplines us today. I won't get into it, but let me just say real quick, there's three ways how God disciplines us. First, through his word, okay? If you're starting to walk inconsistent with your identity in Christ, as you're studying God's word, the Holy Spirit will show us that. Now, if you don't respond to that, then he'll bring a believer, a spiritual believer. What's a spiritual believer? If you've caught, in Galatians it says, if you've caught someone, you know, the idea is they were caught like a bear trap, their foot's caught, or you caught them in the act. You who are spiritual go to restore such a one, but watch lest you fall. That spiritual one means I don't judge them. I can judge a behavior, just like my own behavior. If I'm walking inconsistent, I hope someone lovingly comes to me and talks to me. And we talk, and you go to restore, lift them up, get them back, you know. That's a spiritual one. So God will bring someone, a loving believer that cares enough about you, not just to tell you everything you want to hear, so you'll like me. But he's going to say, brother, sister, I've been noticing something, you know, and I'm concerned about you. And see, that's not coming like, what you doing out there, just sinning, making our church look bad? Right? It's all different. It's concern. Now, if you don't respond to that, then what does Scripture say? If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap from the flesh. Did it say you'll reap God's punishment?
No.
No, it's a natural consequence to our sins. If we sow to the flesh, we'll reap it. You sow to the Spirit, you'll reap fruit from the Spirit. There'll be fruit in your life. You want fruit in your life? Or you want, a messed up, wasted life? So, we have the blessing of justification. God has declared God made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to what? Be sin for us. That what? We might. That means maybe we won't. But if we'll trust that Christ died for our sins, that we might become made the righteousness of God in Christ. If you're in Christ, you trusted in Christ, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Your new nature only wants to serve God. It's a righteous nature. But you got an old nature, and there's that struggle. Romans chapter 7. What I want to do, I don't do. And if you get yourself on, that's somebody getting herself back under legalism. You know grace, but you're getting back under legalism. But Romans 6 tells us how to overcome that. That the cross broke the power of the sin nature. We went over that, I think, last time I taught. So God sees you covered in Christ's righteousness. He don't see you as a screw-up. He don't see you as a mess up. Though we do mess up, don't we? We all come up short every day, right, Bill?
You got it.
Yeah.
You don't have that far to fall.
Did you hear that? Ain't got that far to fall, me. He's a bad man there. Yeah. Thank God for justification and forgiveness, right? But anyway, God sees Bill leaving as completely righteous. So, isn't that a beautiful blessing to know? What will that do for your prayer life? When you know, isn't the prayers of a righteous man, don't they avail it much? Or a righteous woman? Be politically correct. I ain't very politically correct, but some things you got to say. You know, some words when it talks about man, it's generic. It's humankind, if you want. So we have the blessing of sanctification. We've been set apart by the Holy Spirit, right? We were crucified with Christ. We died with Christ. The moment you trusted, God identified you in his death, because you identified yourself, him dying your death. Then we were crucified with Christ, right? We died with Christ. You died who you were in Adam. But it didn't stop there. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you ain't. You were made alive with Christ. We rose with Christ. And not only did we rise with Christ, that's if you're really blessed and your church teaches that, but it goes farther. We were ascended with Christ and seated at the right hand of the Father. I went over that last week. High above all principalities and powers. You got these deliverance ministries focusing on Satan and, oh, his power, and you know. No, we're seated above that in Christ. We don't have to worry about what he his power, and they're laying hands on people and casting out demons, supposedly out of believers, and putting oil on the windows and oil on your car instead of putting oil in the car so it won't break down, you know. We're risen with Christ. We have to be aware of Satan. We're no match intelligence compared to him. That's why you gotta read the one who Satan can't compare to, his word. When you know this, you learn the methods and the wiles of Satan, and you put on that armor. Later we'll probably get in that. That's a spiritual blessing, all the armor of God. So today we're going to look at, we're joint heirs with Christ, and I want to get two more if I can. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Yes. Praise God, you're never alone. Know that? You ever feel lonely? Why? Feelings respond to our thoughts. If you're thinking you're alone, you're going to feel alone. If you're thinking what's truth, that Christ will never leave you or forsake you, that you have the Spirit of Christ in you. God's in you, it says. The Holy Spirit's in you. You're never alone. I used to sometimes feel a little bit uncomfortable when I was single and go to a restaurant, you know, and you know, you got all these couples around and there you are, you know. Yeah. You know, that's before you could go on your phone on Facebook. And, you know, and but then when I start thinking about it, I say, I ain't alone. Man, I got good conversation. I'm talking with God. Never alone. Yeah. So, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And very important to know, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 16, 17, 18, and then verse 23. Romans chapter 8, 16, 17, 18, and then verse 23. This is high stuff. You know, Romans is the mechanics of the Christian life. That's all the gears and how everything works. You got to know Romans. Don't give somebody the Gospel of John when they first get saved. Give them the book of Romans. You know? Get the mechanics of the Christian life down. Then the Holy Spirit, through Paul, builds it. By the time we get to Ephesians and Colossians, it's a skyscraper, man. We're up in the clouds in heavenly places. You know? So let's look at Romans. Chapter 8, 16, 17, 18, 23. Everybody there? Yeah. Y'all waiting for me?
Yeah.
All right. Nice to see people with their Bibles open. You know how many people come to church, don't bring their Bibles? For you have not, I'm sorry, 16. The Spirit in itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. There's a spiritual blessing. You're God's child. Is God a perfect father?
Yeah.
Is he going to take care of you? Then why are you worrying about stuff all the time? I'm talking to myself. Talking to my wife. Talking to everybody. Right? This is why it's so important to get into Word. Know this Word. Apply this Word, right? We don't have to worry. If God's going to supply all of our needs, if we know He's our Father, when I went through that terrible time and losing my business and the building, and then we lost our house, and Mary had health problems, I had health problems, and you're talking about stress. And when I would get my mind on the problems, I would get all burdened and stressed. I mean, my stomach would twist up. But you know, when I says, you know, Father, you said you're going to work all things for my good. And what is that good? If you read the next verse, to be conformed to the image of Christ. You want to grow in Christ-likeness? Well, sometimes we have to go through things. God don't bring it on us, but we live in a fallen world, right? we got to deal with their own sin nature, and we got to deal with other sin people with sin natures, and Satan. But no matter what Satan brings against us, God turns it around for our good. Unsaved people, it just destroys them. And I said, Father, you're completely righteous. You promise you'll meet our needs, that you're going to work this for my good. And you're righteous, and you ain't going to stop being unrighteous in my case. So I'm going to trust you. I'm going to thank you that you're working this for my good. And guess what? Here was this big mountain that crumbled, that was stressing me out, because I got my eyes on this, our God, who's infinite, greater than anything we face. And I wouldn't be stressed out. See, about application, it ain't just about knowing how to rightly divide the word. That's just the beginning. That's basic. Most churches don't get into basics. You learn how to rightly divide it to learn what's to us directly, our promises, our instructions. Why? So you can learn to apply it. See, that's where a lot of people stop. That's what I call doctrine heads. They get all the doctrine, you know, like the V8 commercials, you know, they walk around like this. But when it comes to really understanding how to take the doctrine and apply it to the details of our life, you know, they're too busy impressing people with their knowledge and arguing with people, turn them off to the grace message, you know. So we're children of God. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of that. When you mess up, he don't remind you God's gonna get you. He loves you so much, he's gonna take you out to the woodshed and just spank you. He's that, this loving God in the sky just waiting for you to mess up so he can squash you with the little big old fly swatter. No. It says, the Holy Spirit reminds us, he beareth witness with our spirit, we're children of God. God's not done with you yet. What he began in you, he's going to finish, ain't he? Amen. God is ever faithful. Amen. We're the ones who aren't faithful many times. But as you grow in grace, as you start learning to apply this grace to the details of our life, we start becoming faithful. Isn't that a fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness? And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy, listen to this, not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'm going to stop here because I have to warn you about another teaching in grace circles. It's called sonship. You'll hear the term sonship edification. They're bringing legalism into the grace movement, if you want to call it. What they teach is, and you got to take their courses, of course, to understand what kind of sufferings. But if you don't suffer the way they teach, you got to suffer. And many will say, you're only going to reign with Christ, that you are an heir of God. But they try in verse 17, and if children and heirs of God, so they say everybody's an heir of God, but not everybody's a joint heir with Christ. And they play with words here, but if you notice a connection there, heirs of God and, that's not conditional, and joint heirs with Christ. So listen up. People go, I'm interested in this. Well, a lot of times in church, when we're letting our minds drift off and we don't think things are so important. See, I've studied apologetics. I study a lot of movements that blow in and out of the churches that you wouldn't believe some of the stuff going on today. And if you're not equipped to understand it, you'll get sucked in. Satan's very subtle. He's got some for everybody, for your type of personality to attract you. Well, the idea is, you're only going to rule with Christ. They're robbing believers, any believer, whether you're a grace believer or, you know, you're a fundamental believer, whatever. They're robbing them, saying, unless you suffer, like I said, you got to take their courses, so let's make a little bit of cash on it, right? And they teach you how the suffering is, and that only if you suffer for Paul's gospel are you going to rule and reign with Christ in the places of authority. That's garbage. Look at the context here. Every believer suffers. Whether it's sickness, whether it's you're persecuted. I don't care if you're a mid-Acts dispensationalist, Pauline, you understand the uniqueness of Paul's ministry and the mystery. Even if you don't, maybe you were never introduced to it. Shame on us. We're not sharing with enough people because we're worried what they think about us. But you're going to suffer. If you're sharing, you know, there's some Pentecostal and charismatic brothers and sisters that I see sharing out there that I don't see people that rightly divide the word getting out there, reaching out to people, and they're getting persecuted. You don't think they're going to rule with Christ? Just because we're Pauline believers, not Pauline, I shouldn't say, we believe that Christ gave Paul a unique message in the dispensation of grace called the mystery that was hidden in other ages. Every believer is going to, we're going to rule with Christ. Now, I do believe God is not going to reward anyone for teaching error, is he? Do you think God's going to reward you? Even if you suffer for teaching something that is not accurate? No. So I think every believer is going to rule and reign with Christ in those positions of authority. We're going to rule over angels and heavenly places. And I think there's going to be a special rewards for those who are sharing the gospel of the grace of God. That's for today. But even those who don't know it, maybe, they're going to reign and rule with Christ too because they suffer. So watch, be careful. Look it up. You can Google it, sonship, edification, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was made aware of it a couple of years ago, and I like to read up, do some apologetics. That word means defense. You know, Peter talks about always be ready to give a hope, answer for the hope within you. And Paul, I forgot where it was at, I was reading it yesterday, but he talks about the same thing. We should know what we believe, why we believe, and this way we can share with other people of other worldviews, you know, and know the arguments, know their arguments, and know where they're off. Look at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, that's the time we're living in, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's talking about every believer. Then in verse 23, and not only that, but ourselves also. So Paul's writing to believers, isn't he? Which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Talking about the rapture. So we're going to go through some suffering, but when you do realize, you're going to be rewarded for it. It's not in vain. Everything you go through. If God leaves us here, and like me, I was in the hospital 4 months in pain, right? 2 months in rehab. But so many who's prayed for me. Praise God, you know, people out there on Facebook, there are people all over the world praying. And you know what I said? God, use this for your glory. Amen. I'll be rewarded for that. I didn't whine. I didn't cry. Ask Mary. I said, use my situation, Lord, to draw people to Christ. Let them see the reality of the resurrection. Christ in me, expressing itself out of me. I was sharing with the nurses and the doctors and the people even that come in and clean your room. I'm sharing with believers, because you got believers, nurses and doctors, and you got unbelievers. I'm sharing the mystery, how to rightly divide the word, God's grace with them and with the unsaved people. I'm sharing the gospel. When I was laying, the first night I went, I barely remember it. I was like out of it. And my niece came to the hospital. Mary got me there. And I was laying on that whatever. Probably they had me on a gurney because they didn't think I'd make it. They're probably ready to take me into the cold room where they put you in the drawer. Or take me in the operating room. I don't know. You know, save time, right? But anyway, I remember my niece came and says, she was all worried looking at me. And I looked up. I remember this. And I said, Lori, I'm not afraid to die. You know why? Amen. To be absent from the body, present with the Lord. And she went. But they'll probably stick in her mind the rest of her life. I wasn't afraid. Why? You know where we're going?
Yeah.
And to rule and reign with Christ in heavenly places, ruling over angels. When at the Bema steps, when we go before Christ for our rewards, Paul talks about our light afflictions. And then that weight of glory that shall be revealed in us. And we're going to look back and say, everything we went through, the pains, maybe divorce, maybe your children are, you know, out in the world, whatever it might be, the persecutions, it's going to be like an old bad dream. You know, heaven is a place. I think it's so wonderful that Paul wasn't allowed to even tell us everything about it, because he probably couldn't describe it right, you know. So anyway, we're joint heirs with Christ. Go to Ephesians 3:6. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. Right, Mary?
Yep.
Again, my wife, she told me to repeat the verses, so when she's right, she's right. When she's wrong, she's wrong.
Yep.
That's why you got to know this word, know if your wife or husband is right or wrong. It says that the Gentiles should be, listen to this, fellow heirs. This is every believer, not just, you know, those who took the sonship edification classes and are really spiritual. Yeah. Every believer, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So we're fellow heirs with Christ. I'm going to do one more. Galatians 3:14. Well, let me know. I brought my notes today, so let me know if I should. Some people liked it when I left my notes. I said, leave your notes more. It was really good. I studied up good that week, you know. I would have been stuck. So I'm at, what did I say, Galatians 3:14. That the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We have the Holy Spirit. You know, we're going to look in a sec. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He's the one who produces fruit. Do you ever hear Paul saying, you need to produce the fruit of the Spirit? As we depend upon the Holy Spirit, He produces fruit. In our own resources, we can't produce fruit. You know, even, like I said, you got to learn, as you learn this Word of God, and you learn how to rightly divide it. Some people, they do get that. You got to separate Israel from the body of Christ, their program from ours. But there's some things we have in common. And there's some principles. That's why Paul, you ever notice how many times Paul uses truth from the Old Testament? Look at it when you're studying Paul's epistles. He goes to the Old Testament. There's principles back to all scripture is God-breathed or inspired, right? It's for our learning. Well, Jesus Christ, in his early ministry to Israel, so again, you got to take it, who's speaking, who are they speaking to, right? What are they saying, why are they saying that? What do you tell them? He's a vine, they're the branches, right? And he said if they abide in him, much fruit would be produced, right? Well, we're not them. But there's a principle there. As we depend upon Christ, his Spirit in us will produce much fruit. As you get your eyes off of Christ, as you depend upon yourself to live this Christian life in your own resources, you ain't going to bust a grape. Not even one grape, so you can stomp it. No fruit. You know what you'll have? Fleshly morality. You know what you'll become? A dispensational Pharisee. Or maybe I make up some of these terms, dispensational Pharisee. That's somebody who thinks, because they know how to rightly divide the word, they look down on believers who don't understand it. Like they recovered all the truth of what we've learned about the mystery. Yeah? Or a dispensational Gnostic. A Gnostic thought because they had all this knowledge, you know, they were earning their way to heaven. You get people, rightly dividers, that get puffed up. What did Paul say? Knowledge, just knowledge alone. He's not against knowledge. Paul said, don't you know? We're supposed to have knowledge. But knowledge by itself just puffs up. Look at me, look how smart I am. Look at them. Such a measly little Christian baby. Yeah. Gnostic dispensationalist. Like I said, it's not just what you know. You know, when I'm going like this, I got three pointed back at me. It's not what we know. It's what we apply of what we know. That is growth. So let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. What should this teach us? What should this equip us against being sucked into? What is the charismatic or Pentecostal? And I love my charismatic and Pentecostal brother and sisters. I was a Pentecostal years. I was taught, you trust in Christ, you get Christ, but seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. This scripture says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you ain't saved. Because they'll say, you know, when you try and show them from scriptures that the actual gift of tongues, it was a known language. It wasn't ashana katahai ni katapai. You know, it was actually, you spoke in a language you never learned. Look, go back to Pentecost, where they get their name from. And it said they heard them speaking in languages. These were Jews from all over that would come for that holiday. And they heard them speaking in languages, these hillbilly Galileans. You know, excuse me if anybody's from the South. I don't mean any disrespect. You know, but they say, oh, you're trying to steal my gifts. No, you're trying to steal my salvation. You're telling me if I don't speak in tongues, if I don't get the Holy Spirit, if I don't get baptized, what did Peter say on Pentecost? Repent to be baptized for the remission of sins, right? And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They want to go back to Pentecost. See, they had to get baptized. Where do you think that teaching baptismal regeneration comes from? Right there. The church's biggest blunder is starting the church at Pentecost. That wasn't something new. That was a continuation of God's program. What did Peter say? This one was spoken by Joel, right? The Old Testament, it wasn't something new. That was a church that was being added to. That was the church that began with John the Baptist, was added to Christ, and then on Pentecost, there was what? One time, how many thousand added? The church, the body of Christ, didn't begin till the Apostle Paul. When he got saved, he said he was saved as a pattern. What's a pattern? It's the original that everything else is cut out from, right? Or that. So Paul was saved completely by grace through faith. No works, right? Paul was Christ's greatest enemy, persecuting them Hebrew saints. And Christ saved them by grace. That's how we're saved. And that's in Acts chapter 9. That's where it happened. That's where he commissioned Paul. He gave him a new commission. We got a new, unique apostle. He's not one of the 12. With the new commission, right? With the new gospel. Shame on the church. They've been teaching the church. Now, I was listening to Pastor O'Hare. He's really been a tough old, if you ever heard him, tough old pastor from, you know, was a great minister and helping to recover Grace Truth. That, you know, lost in the dark ages. And some Baptists, he said when he would offer this pamphlet or book on our signs for today. Now he said, we're going way back now. He said, you didn't hear too much about the speaking in tongues and signs and wonders early. But he said within the last 10 years, it's everybody's seeking signs and wonders. How much more now, right? But this Baptist pastor called him and says, look, we're having trouble with these, you know, these Pentecostals, you know. We don't know how to answer them. He said, you can't. Because they believe that that's the beginning of the church. And they believe in water baptism for the church today. Right? So how are you going to say they ain't right? We know how to rightly divide the word. We know that that isn't our instructions. We don't. Paul said, what? There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism, and we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. That's when you receive the Holy Spirit, and that's where Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Well, everyone in Ephesians chapter 1 has said, when you heard the gospel and you believed the gospel, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. He is the seal. The Holy Spirit is a seal. Can you break it? Can you break him? Can Satan break him? It's unbreakable, baby. That's called eternal security. Why do you think churches are teaching you can lose your salvation? Because they don't know you're complete in Christ. They don't rightly divide the word. They don't go to Paul's epistles for their instructions. They're going to where Jesus is teaching under Matt in the flesh. Paul said, we don't know Christ after the flesh. We knew him that way. We follow him as head of the body after his death, burial, resurrection, ascension. And then he gives our instructions to Paul. Go to Ephesians 4:30 and I'm going to end. Ephesians 4:30 and I'll be ending pretty much on time. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. You see, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. He's the one who produces the fruit. It's the Spirit of Christ in us, expressing Himself out of us, speaking truth out of us, loving through us. We're rich, people. Think this week. Quit thinking about all the things that are wrong. Quit focusing all about, oh, they're making abortion like this, and, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans, and, you know, it's so bad out there with the gangs. You know, getting focused on, start thinking from your position in heavenly places. You're not going to be any good, any earthly good, if you're not heavenly minded. I'll end with that. You know that old saying that says, you can be so heavenly minded, brother, you're no earthly good? No, it's the exact opposite. Praise God. This week, rejoice, meditate, Paul talks about. Think on these things. Let people see that joy and that peace, not stress. This ain't our world. We're just passing through. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for lavishing on us your love. Thank you for making us all by your grace. We didn't deserve it. You gave us, you made us rich up front. And may that cause us to want to serve you, God. To sacrifice our lives. To stand for your grace so others, unsaved people, can be saved. And the saved people can be rejoicing and learn how to walk powerfully in the might and power of that resurrection life of Christ in us. I pray if there's one, Father, that is listening today, whether it be through the video, CD, or that's sitting here, and that's never trusted in Christ. Maybe they asked Jesus in their heart and they were told to walk an aisle or you got to get baptized or whatever it might be, but they haven't placed their complete faith in Christ, that He died for their sins personally, according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again. And that they can be saved by grace, unmerited favor, through faith, just trusting in what He did, and receive that gift of salvation, the gift of your gift, God. I pray that they'll make that decision now, and they wouldn't just walk away again, ignore it, because it has eternal consequences. They would make a decision to trust completely in the finished work of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.